Well, happy Sunday, church. It's good to be with you, and please go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 as we conclude this series, A Church Devoted. I've really enjoyed looking through this foundational passage of who the church is, who they were when it first started, and who we still must be today, what they were devoted to, and what we must be devoted to as well. I hope you've been enjoying it. It's been pretty cool that just looking at like five verses, we've been in this for 2 months, because there's so much packed into the Word of God. There's so much for us to glean from the Word of God. We're a church. What we saw in these last 8 weeks is we're a church devoted to the gospel. What happened right at Pentecost? The apostles stood up and they started to preach the gospel to many who were there. At every opportunity, they would preach the gospel, and so must we. They were devoted to baptism. They told them, those who believed, the first thing they were to do was to be baptized, and they were. We also saw that we're devoted to the Word of God. As it's in the text, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, which is what we are studying when we open the New Testament. They were also teaching from the Old Testament. What it's saying here is they were devoted to the Word of God, and we as a church must be devoted to the Word of God. It's the foundation of truth. We're devoted to the fellowship of believers, we saw as well. Devoted to communion, devoted to prayer. And as we saw last week, we're devoted to lives being transformed for the glory of God. And where we're ending this series is in verse 45. And what we see is that the people who walked through all of these things, the people who heard the gospel, who were baptized, who began taking communion together, who were in fellowship together, who were in prayer together, those who were being transformed, the result of that was this community of compassion. That they were a people of compassion. And the truth is that everything the church does is really in compassion. It's a response to the compassion that we have received from God. And so we have received the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've received the compassion of God that He would step out, that He would sacrifice. He saw the need and He gave us His Son. And we take that, and the church does two things. We respond in adoration of God, which is what we just did in our singing, and as we do many things to worship God directly, and that's our vertical response to the gospel, and then our horizontal response to the gospel, everything that we do within the church and outside of the church is really based in compassion. It's a transformation of the heart. As we saw last week, it leads to awesome worship, wonderful fruit, and this rare, beautiful community. It's all compassion. It's all compassion. Let's look at our text. We're focusing in on verse 45, but I'm going to read our entire passage, just 42 to 47, and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Acts 2, starting in verse 42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And they who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the example laid out for us in Scripture of what the church should look like. People who are responding to the truth of the gospel. People who hear the word of God and are not just hearers, but doers of the word. God, I pray that we would be a church increasing in our compassion for one another and for those outside of the church as well. Lord, lead us, help us, God. Open our ears, open our minds, soften our hearts that we may understand. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, why do we need to be devoted to compassion? Well, we've already said it slightly, but we need to be devoted to compassion for this very reason, that compassion really is the heart of God. Compassion is the gospel. It is what Christ did, and it is who we must be. I want to just read a little passage from Philippians 2, very familiar passage, Philippians 2, verses 4 to 7, Paul explaining who we must be because of what Christ has done. It says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." You see, he became like a man to show compassion to us, and now that he didn't think of himself but thought of others, we too must now not just think of ourselves but think of others. As the church, if we are going to be known for something, I hope, I pray that what we are known for is a deep desire to help those inside and outside of our church. That we would be known for our love for each other. That we would be known for the compassion we have. You think, you look across the landscape of the church all over the world, and maybe just in Canada, and you ask yourself, what is it that the average person thinks goes on between these walls or other walls of churches when we meet together? What do you think they see of the church? What is the reputation of the church? Is it greed? Is it selfishness? I hope not, but maybe. You see, we must be a people who are here in the sincerity of heart, filled with compassion, that people would know that we are here to love. We have 3 points today, and here's our first. We are devoted to compassion because it is our new heart in Christ. Listen, you're going to be devoted to compassion as a believer, as a Christian, because it's who you are. It's who you've become. It's who Christ has made you. What is compassion? Well, it's the desire to meet the need of someone who is suffering. That's really what compassion is. It's not sympathy, right? You can be sympathetic of someone who's suffering, but not actually help them. Compassion is the inclination, it's the desire to feel moved and be the source of help for the person. It's biblical compassion is active. It's not passive. It's the urge and desire to do something to alleviate the suffering of others. And this really is the heart of Christianity. I read somewhere, I didn't go and check every single one, but that there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible about helping the less fortunate and being compassionate. It's a foundational idea in Scripture. Not only for us to be this way, but it actually shows the very character of God. When the Bible speaks of compassion, it's often speaking about the compassion that God has given to us, the compassion that we have received from Him. All the way back in the early parts of the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, God was making promises to the Israelites as they were wandering through the wilderness. And He said, listen, one day you're going to fall away. In Deuteronomy 13, He says to them, when you go and worship other gods, but then you come back to Me, He says, I will show you compassion. I will show you mercy. I will bring you back in. Because God has always had a heart to be compassionate to those who are in need. In Micah 7:19, it says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread on our iniquities underfoot." You see, that's the active role of compassion that God has, that not only does he see us and sees us suffering and see us in need, he comes and he alleviates, he takes away, he deals with the problem. It says, "You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." That's the work of God as he looks at us. And this is what God has done. And the gospel is in of itself an act of compassion. That God saw us as sinners. He saw our issue. He saw what we needed. And he actively gave up his son, Jesus, to come and save us. You see, we have no hope without the compassion of God, that he was willing to sacrifice and give. And the mission of Jesus is a mission of compassion. It just simply is. What does Jesus say in Luke 4? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It's compassion. The ministry of Jesus Christ is compassion. And in fact, Christ's compassion is really what got him into a lot of trouble with the religious leaders. If you want to be a people and a person who steps away from worldly religion and what the church may have become in many places, or greed and selfishness, then focus on the transformation of compassion in your heart. You see, this is what Jesus did, isn't it? He got in a lot of trouble for his compassion for people. He sees a lame man and he heals him. And you think everyone would be really excited about that, right? This guy couldn't walk and now he's walking. And everyone should just be like, but no, what do the religious people say? How dare you do that on the Sabbath? You know, they're so focused on the rules, these things that are hindering good work to be done for people who need help. And Jesus is there, like, shouldn't you just rejoice that someone who was lame is now walking? And they're like, no. We don't care too much about the person who's lying on a bed for 30 years and can't walk. We care that it was done on a certain day. You see, that's a lack of compassion. It's a lack of compassion. The religious leaders at the time, the Pharisees, were so blind to the people around them who needed help. They saw people as things to control. They were so blind and hardened to this that their heart was so far away from that impulse of compassion that God had put on them. You see, Jesus was just so different. When touring and teaching, he wasn't like the Pharisees who saw the people as servants or people who should be doing what they say and want and keeping them oppressed. When Jesus was touring and teaching, this crowd was following him. It says in Matthew 9:36, he says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them." He saw all of these people who were under oppression and who were hungry and who had no leader. He says he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were being hunted down by wolves. They had no one to protect them and care for them. And Jesus looked out on the crowds, thousands and thousands of people, and his heart was filled with compassion for them. He didn't look at the people and see their hurt and their suffering and think to himself, "Wow, look how famous I am. Wow, if they would all give, I would have so much support for my ministry." He didn't look at them as financial assets. He didn't look at them as a burden. Oh, well, we have all these people to take care of. He looked at them and he was moved in compassion because these are people who need help. Jesus would often stay as an entire town would bring through their sick and ill, and he would heal them and see every one. the King of heaven, God himself, sitting with the wounded and the poor and the sickly, working hour after hour after hour because his heart is filled with compassion. Listen, if you believe in Christ, this is the heart that you have been given. It's not a heart that you created. It's not a heart that you earned, but it's a heart that you have been given. We receive this heart, and we begin to grow in compassion for others. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:16, he says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What's Paul saying? He's saying, look, as you, through faith, believe in Christ, your heart will be filled with Christ's heart. And as we read the Gospels and we see who Jesus is, this King become man, this God become man, this King become servant, we realize that we must humble ourselves and think of ourselves secondary and be compassionate to those around us. Church, listen, we are devoted to compassion for others because we belong to Christ and he is the compassionate Savior. Look at our text again today, verse 45 in Acts 2. It says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Who does this? Who does this? You see, it's a lot different, right? People say, like, oh, the government should do this. And so they force you to pay more tax or force you to pay into systems or whatever so that they can distribute it. And what it does is it makes you resentful for the money you pay, and it's usually not used very well to its end product. But here, these people are willingly selling their things, selling off things that are surplus. They're going, oh, listen, Harry can't feed his family this week. Well, I have an extra donkey. I'm going to go ahead and sell that donkey so that I can help him, because he and his family are more important than my extra stuff. See, that's compassion. That's an individual heart being transformed by the gospel, wanting to see others succeed and be fed, even if it costs me my things. That's what's happening here. And honestly, look at the transformation of heart of these people. We pointed it out last week, but I think we should point it out again. These are the same folks that in verse 13 of Acts 2 were mocking the apostles in their preaching. They're like, are these people drunk? That's what it says. They're preaching and are they drunk? And then the gospel starts to come out and they hear who Christ is. They hear what Jesus has done, and then they're cut to the heart and they go, what should we do? The truth has changed me. What should I do? And all of a sudden now they're selling their belongings and giving the proceeds to the needy. What a transformation in the course of 30 verses. It's what happens when your heart is being filled with Christ. It's who you are. We're devoted because it's our new heart in Christ. This is what being a believer is. Our second point is this. We are devoted to compassion because it's everything in the local church. All right, so it's an individual thing and it's also a local church thing. That as a local church, we are compassionate. And now that sounds like a big statement to say that it's everything in the local church, but hear me out. Of course, there's so much else that happens within the church, but what I mean is that in this series, as we say, a church devoted, and we name these seven other things that we must be devoted to, and then compassion, that all of these things really, or most of these things, are from the heart of compassion. It's what we do because we are the church. They are out of worship to God and what he has done to us. These are the things that make the church, being compassionate. If we are not doing these things, then truthfully, we're not really the church of Jesus Christ, but we're just this kind of Sunday country club with very little member benefits. And honestly, if that's all we are, I am not interested. There's so many other things that you could be doing on a Sunday. There's so many other relationships that you could be building throughout the week. But, if we are devoted to these things, then we have something that is truly special. Then we have something that is completely unique from the rest of the world. And that's definitely worth being part of. We have something that actually can be fulfilling these deep desires of the heart to be compassionate. You see, if you have any inclination of compassion in your heart, it's God giving you that push. And in the church, as we come together, we have the place where that compassion can be expressed in a community. I think much of the church, in some ways, has lost its way on this, and we have to be able to admit that, and we have to be able to get back to a place of compassion. Much of the focus of many churches, and Lord, I pray it would never be us, but it's so easy to fall into, that the church becomes a place of doing a lot of things that just don't matter. And maybe they have some importance, but they're not the most important. I remember going to the movie theater as a kid, and before the movie started, maybe this is just like a local thing, like Famous Players, right? You'd be at Famous Players, and before the movie would start, it would be like, big screen, big sound. I thought it said big difference too, but I looked it up, I couldn't find that. So my memory's a little shaky. But I remember that it would be like big, and then, you know, it'd be the big sound you'd hear, and you have this big screen, and that's wonderful. I'd go to the movies all the time. I loved going to the movies as a kid, and yes, the big screen and the big sound and the not-so-comfortable seat, but it didn't matter. You had the popcorn, and it was an enjoyable experience. It was something that was really nice. Or you join a sports team, and you have this sort of community and competition, right? It satisfies those things that we enjoy, whether it's a little bit of entertainment or a little bit of competition. That's great. Those are great places for those things to be done. But you don't go to the movie theater and you don't go to a sports team to speak to the issues of the heart or the motivations of the heart. And it's a shame if the church spends all of its time and energy doing those things instead of creating an environment of compassion. If the church just becomes big screen, big sound, and competitive sports on during the week, and we have a lot of good programming, but we're not a place of compassion, then we've lost our way. Because having a place of compassion as the church, it's the only unique thing in many ways that we have. A compassion that comes from the heart of the gospel. That because Christ did this, we do this. The church can't focus on being devoted to everything else. We don't really have time. There's so much need in the world, we must focus on being compassionate. Again, I'll say it, if we're going to be known for something, let it be that we are known for a deep desire to help those inside our church and outside of our church. In the name of Jesus. We see a little bit more of this unraveling in the next few chapters of what's going on in the church in Acts 4 and 32. it explains a little bit more of this, selling off and giving to those in need. It says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." What an incredible, incredible thing going on here. An incredible thing. You see, what's going on here and what we're learning is that it's everything in the church, because the church is, as the people of God move in compassion, it's the way, it's the mechanism that God has arranged for his people to be taken care of. This is the church is the place that God's people are cared for. That's its design. God has brought us together. We're of one mind, one heart, one soul. And if you are of the body of Christ, if you are part of the church, then God has transformed the hearts of those within it so that everyone will be cared for. You see, it's everything in the church. Compassionate community is everything in the church, and it's incredible to be a part of. Let me submit this to you. There's a phrase that's been floating around our church in different circles the last few weeks. It was spoken privately and like to me in like three different places, and then it was brought up in the men's ministry, and it's so applicable to what we're talking about today, so I'll say it. But it was this: it's never resist a generous impulse. What a great thing if you have a need, or you see a need, rather, and you feel the urge of compassion, that's what that is, to fill that need. Don't resist it. Do it. Just do it. Never resist a generous impulse. It's a wonderful phrase to remember. But why is it true? Why is it true? Because when you resist a generous impulse, you are suppressing the compassion that Christ has put in your heart. You're ignoring the Holy Spirit's work. We have a bunch of excuses that come to mind, though, don't we? When a generous impulse comes to mind of why we shouldn't. I have three that float through my mind sometimes, and maybe you can relate. Number one is, maybe you see someone and you're like, I can help them. I have surplus and I have something to help them. And you think, well, I can't be doing everything for everyone. It can't be just me, right? Why does it come down to me? You start talking yourself out of why you shouldn't help someone. I did it last time. Someone else's turn. And when we speak like this, we're forgetting the blessing it is to be able to do anything at all. And that your gifts in a skillful task or in being able to give, all those things you have were given to you so that you can serve others. Secondly, sometimes we might say, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to go do that. I don't have the time to go help the needy or the poor or whatever it may be. And so here's my encouragement to you. Make the time. Make the time. And let the Lord bless you with a greater capacity to accomplish everything you're already needing to do and the things that he is calling you to do. Or maybe sacrifice something else that is of less importance. Number three is, we often say this: I don't want to give my money to this person for whatever reason because it might be misused. And that's true. Things can be misused, and we have to be good stewards as a church as we give to different organizations, and we are very careful. But we can't allow someone's misuse to become our excuse, right? Their potential of doing something wrong can't hinder what I really need, which is to exercise the compassion that Christ has put in my heart. You see, if we want to be religious, what does James say about what true religion is? James 1:26, it says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Is that not saying that true religion is compassion? That we would care for those in need? It's how the church, is provided by God to supply the needs for those in the church. And so that who we are would be on display for the world to see. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It really is everything in the local church to be filled with compassion and to be compassionate in all that we do. Our third and final point is this. We're devoted to compassion because it's fuel for missions. It's fuel for missions. Compassion really is what fuels everything we do, the work that we do here and around the world. It's compassion. Often when we start a work or when we start to support another work, we don't even know the people that are being helped. We don't know them specifically or individually often, but we're moved in compassion for what we have heard about what they're going through. Just last week, actually, it's not my notes, but just last week we had our annual meeting. And we passed another mission organization that we support, Set My People Free. And Samir, one of the elders, knows the individual who runs that ministry very well. And he was telling me a story of this man who converted from Islam, and he's from Yemen, and he's in Egypt, and they've imprisoned him because of his faith, and they're threatening to send him back so that they can be executed. And you hear this, you've never met these people. I've never met these people. But move to, how can we help? What can we do so that those who want to worship freely can do so without the threat of imprisonment and death? His family is here. His three kids are here being cared for. And the question is, how can we help? What can we do? How can we help? And you see, this feeling, this heart is resonating through the millennia. It's what was going on in the early church as well. Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 8. He's talking about the churches in Macedonia who wanted to help the churches in Thessaloniki and Philippi and Berea. And he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying, look, the people in Macedonia begged me to take their money and bring it to these other churches. They've heard of what they're going through. And what he also says is the churches in Macedonia are in severe poverty, yet out of their poverty, their generosity overflowed. Because they're thinking of themselves second. They're going, We could figure it out. We can give. We can help. We can pull our resources together. We can send it down to them that they can eat, that they can have whatever. They can get out of prison. And what do we see happen in those cities as Paul reaches them? You see this explosion of the gospel. And it's thanks to the compassionate hearts of those in Macedonia. That's how God used that compassion. You see, this is what the church has to offer the world. A community of compassionate people looking not only to the inside of the walls of the church, but outside as well, wanting to give and help and support. And I'm so thankful that we have a church with this heart, and I pray we would just grow in it. We would not come complacent in it, but we would want to do more and seek to do more and seek to give more. I mean, isn't it interesting that all of these organizations around the world that are feeding the poor, sheltering the homeless, giving medicine to children, most of them, if not all, are Christian-based organizations? It's just so fundamental to the Christian message. And so many that we support as well. Samaritan's Purse, Compassion Canada, Northern Canada Evangelical Mission, Prison Fellowship, Scott Mission, Hellenic Ministries, the work they do in Greece, and many more. Those that seek to fill the needs of people and sacrifice so much to do it. They don't do it because it's easy, not because it's convenient, but it's from a deep feeling of compassion. And so the church mobilizes into missions in this way. And just in the next passage in Acts 3, we see Peter and John, right? They're walking up to the temple to pray, and they see this man begging, and they don't have any money to give him. But what do they say to him? "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." That's sweet. "What I do have, I give to you." And this is the last thing I'll say about compassion, is often we are discouraged from moving out because we don't think we have enough to give. We don't think we have enough to facilitate. But what we see here is that even Peter, he says, "I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I do have, I give to you." What I do have. You see, what we have in compassion is endless. It's constantly refilled. It never runs out. God will facilitate a way. Something I often say is God doesn't give us a desire for something and not provide the way of doing it. If God has given us a desire and a mission to accomplish, He will make a way for it to be done. God is not worried about resources. You see, our compassion never runs out, because the compassion God has for us never runs out. So, we're devoted to all of these things. Devoted as a church to the gospel and to baptism, to communion, to prayer and fellowship and transformation. We're devoted to compassion because it's who we are in Christ. It's everything in our church, and it's our fuel for missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you've had so much compassion on us, Lord, and we have the opportunity to be compassionate to others. I thank you for your kindness and all of these things, Lord. God, I ask that you would increase our heart for those in need. Lord, that you would give us the opportunity to do more. Lord, bless the work of our hands and be glorified in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.